Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. Adam Hansen on behalf of Appellant Vicky Coffey. Fast Easy offers calls and messages to Coffey or solicitations under the TCPA because they were initiated for the purpose of encouraging the purchase of brokerage services, realtor services, and other real estate services. The district court erred in rejecting the consensus view of courts around the country and concluding otherwise. This court should reverse.
Can I ask you to separate your argument into what I think is the two parts that you make in your brief? Let's assume for a moment that no brokerage services are involved in the solicitation. It's just somebody just calls up and says, I want to buy your house, and I'll buy it for $100,000. And
you must be in a different jurisdiction.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Let's make this a Southern California case. $100 million. And part of what I'm willing to provide you when I buy the house as part of the consideration is I'll take care of all the details, closing and everything else. Is that that by itself, it strikes me I would have a hard time viewing as a solicitation of the purchase of anything.
Sure.
It's rather just an offer to buy. Do you agree with that?
We don't. So
I know you don't.
I'm trying to figure out why. Let me explain why. So we're removing the brokerage services.
Yes.
I'll take that. And we also, of course, need to remove the implicit real estate services.
Right. It's just he's one of these guys.
The closing costs.
The guys you see on TV all the time.
Yeah.
I'll buy your house for some number.
Sure.
And no closing costs, nothing, anything else. Because that's part of what this guy is trying to do.
It is
calling.
Part, right.
I might want to just get the house and flip it and sell it to somebody else. I don't see any services being sold there.
Providing those adjunct real estate services, the closing costs, the lawyer's fees.
But that's just part of the purchase price. Everybody deducts from their purchase price what their costs are going to be.
Well,
the offer he's making is I'll buy your house. I'll buy your house for a stated number, and that will cover all the costs. I will, that you know, out of that number, I'll take care of all the costs.
Sure. I understand the question, and there may just be a fundamental disagreement here, but you know, there is a difference in economic reality between the seller agreeing to pay those costs, which they normally would do, and then shifting it onto the buyer. Now, if it's not part of, in your hypothetical, the buyer's business model.
Sir, I am confused. I thought your point was the seller usually doesn't cover these costs, so therefore they're covering costs that they ordinarily wouldn't cover.
That is right. So normally, well, I mean, in some instances, the seller does cover those costs.
Right.
I think in this hypothetical, if the part of the business model is to routinely cover those costs as a service that is part of the purchase and happening concurrently with the purchase, it is a service. It is a
yeah. Well, let's say you.
I have a step back question.
Sure.
I understand that everybody has understood this provision as meaning as not applying to an offer to buy something, but I don't understand why that's so. Because the provision says it's an initiation of a telephone call or message for the purpose of encouraging the purchase or rental or investment in property, goods, or services. And this is trying to encourage the purchase. The purchase is going to be by the caller, but as one of the cases say, this is in the passive voice. It doesn't say who's buying and who's selling. And why it's been universally understood that this doesn't apply to an offer to sell, only a purpose or an offer to buy. And that doesn't even make sense, because the whole point of this was to prevent people from bothering you by calling you and they know all the time. And the notion is it's okay to call you to buy something, but not to sell something. I don't get it.
I understand your point, Judge Brezon. It's not a point that we've raised or we see raised in much of
yeah,
the case law.
We have a Ninth Circuit case which says that it only applies to offers to buy and not to sell.
Right. I mean, certainly the focus.
I'm asking you a question. The question is, do we have a Ninth Circuit case?
Not one that I'm aware of.
Okay.
So how do you treat what, at least in my view, is a very common practice, particularly when you're dealing with the low budget, multi-million dollar properties that my colleague is talking about? They do brochures, they do tours, they do drone pictures, all kinds of other things that are not cash payable, but they are part of the discussion. How does that fit into the definition in this case?
Sure. Well, that would just fall into the category of traditional realtor services, which we think is an additional reason why we ought to prevail in this case, particularly at the motion dismiss stage.
Can you get to that part? Because I think it's really the crux of this case.
Sure.
As I understand the pleadings, may or may not be true, we have a representative of the defendant being quoted as saying 9 out of 10 times what really happens in these is that we don't just buy them and flip them. We refer somebody to our in-house realtors,
right,
and with the hope that they will sign up for the services.
Yes.
That strikes me as just in the guts of the statute.
That is in the guts of the statute.
The other side says, well, I'm not sure that was plausibly pleaded. Tell me why it was plausibly pleaded.
Yeah, so we've got it, clearly in the complaint, and I can find it here. We've got it, I think it's at paragraph 45 and 46, if I'm right about that. But it's the part that you quoted from where we say, 9 out of 10 times.
Well, you just don't say that. You make reference to somebody on their side
right.
actually saying it.
Sure. I do think we say it. If we don't say it, I think it's the only logical inference, which, of course, we're also entitled to at this phase. And so, indeed, to the broader question, we've got the second part of the case, which is our allegation is probably most of these leads end up funneled to traditional real estate services, which is just a classical service.
So let me ask you to respond to their other argument.
Sure.
As I read it, maybe I'm making an argument they didn't make, which is that at least on the surface of the solicitation, which is, as I understand it, a text in this case.
Text and calls.
Nobody actually mentions the real estate services. They just say, hey, are you still interested in selling your house?
That's correct.
So what do we look at to determine whether the solicitation was made for the statutory purposes?
You look to, obviously, the text is one relevant consideration, but so is broader context. That's what this court said in Jesbro, and then common sense. And so context means, in this context, the sender's identity, its business model, and its ultimate commercial motivations. And these are ultimately questions of proof and questions of fact. That's why you would
also didn't they eventually refer her to their website?
Yes.
When she eventually answered them, they referred her to a website when the website reflects the business model and I don't know. Does it also reflect the traditional realtor services?
The website clearly reflects the business model and that explains how the Fast Easy Offer transaction works. I think there's less on the Fast Easy Offer website about the traditional real estate services, but we did cite to the YouTube video that's otherwise publicly available. And so it's what I just come back to ultimately answer this question is when a statute uses the word purpose, anything that sheds light on purpose is fair game. It's like any other statute that says purpose or intent.
And does the argument about the referral to the traditional services to Keller Williams Realty, Inc. depend on, there was a dispute at the district court, and it doesn't seem to have been reflected in the briefing here, about whether Keller Williams Realty as such is properly in the case.
District court didn't reach that question, and it's only the National Keller Williams defendant. So we don't have that issue in front of this court. Presumably the district court would take a look at
that. Does it matter to your argument about the referrals to that entity? Or is your notion that this other entity was referring it to that entity, and it doesn't matter what that entity was doing?
It is ultimately relevant to that question because the owner of Fast Easy Offer, Brett Tanner, is actually in charge, according to our allegations, of the national Keller Williams Wealth Program that rolls out this business model nationally. So, yes, we we're not here to discuss this today, but many of the facts that we're discussing are relevant to that question of direct and vicarious liability for Keller Williams.
Do you want to save any time?
I would love to save some time unless the court has any questions.
Please, let's do that.
Thank you so much.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, Archis Parashurami for the defendants. I'd like to make a few key points. I think the court understands, it seems to have focused on why this effective payment theory is not a real theory. And
well, let's assume I agree with you on that for the moment. I may be wrong, but let's assume I agree with you that just the offer to buy the house doesn't fall under the statute. But we have more here that's alleged. This is at the motion to dismiss stage. And what we have plausibly alleged is that 9 out of 10 times what this call results in is referral to a realtor. So why isn't it really a solicitation of the services of a realtor?
But let me step back and say that's not quite what it says, and I'll get to that. But I just want to start with a key.
Well, let's assume it says that. Tell me if it says that or effectively says it, why isn't that solicitation of the services of a realtor?
It's talking about a down-the-line potential consequence.
No, he's calling with the information, I think. That I know that when I call somebody and that 9 out of 10 times, if they respond, I'm going to send them to my buddies who are the realtors. Some of them in-house at Fast Easy Offer. Nice name. why isn't that a call made with the purpose of initiating the purchase of real estate services?
So I think it depends very much on what the word encourage means in the statute. And I want to talk about the Hulse case, the Seventh Circuit decision in Hulse, which is the case that most carefully analyzes the ordinary meaning of the term encourage. In Hulse, the Seventh Circuit said, encourage means a targeted urging or persuading. It rejected the proposed
there is a fundamental statutory interpretation problem here. What the term means is the initiation of a phone call for the purpose of encouraging. So we have to look beyond what the actual message itself says, or even when the message itself is going to be encouraging.
I think you can look at broader context. I don't want to disagree with that, but I do think that what's relevant is what is the purpose of the message. That's what this court said in Chesbro. And encourage means...
Where does the court say that in that the purpose of the message as opposed to the purpose of the call?
Well, I think I'm using message and call interchangeably, but Chesbro refers to the purpose of the message, and that comes from the statute, which also refers to the purpose. And just to step back on what encourage means, the Seventh Circuit said it means a targeted urging or persuading. It rejected the alternative. The alternative argument that was proposed for the meaning of encourage was make more likely to happen. And I think the plaintiffs are pressing make more likely to happen. It is, when you look at what the communication was, it's not disputed that the company genuinely, as Judge Hurwitz pointed to, like just in the advertisements you see, wants to buy these homes. That's what's really going on. That's their goal.
Well, it can't be their only goal, since they understand that they're only successful at that, according to the pleadings, 10% of the time. And therefore, another purpose of the call is to hook them up with realtors, isn't it?
I think that purpose is far too attenuated.
Though it occurs 90% of the time, it's far too attenuated.
Well, it occurs. First of all, I don't know that is actually what he's saying. And when you look at the full video in context, which is incorporated by reference in the motion to dismiss, the video mainly talks about mailers. There is a brief stray reference to calls. But putting that aside, what is being alleged is a daisy chain of three conditional steps. First, the recipient of the call has to respond to the initial communication by expressing an interest in selling the home.
With this statute, we only deal with the communication, right? We don't worry about the response. Either you violated the statute by the communication or you didn't. It's not the response.
I agree that the communication is what's actionable, but I think in applying a measure of common sense, you have to look at the likelihood. And what courts have said is that situations like this are attenuated. That they have this on this issue, no court has agreed with the plaintiff's position. The Bramlett case that the plaintiff cite rejected this exact same theory as too attenuated.
Counsel, what about the Chesbro case where there was encouragement of future purposes?
The message itself was directly encouraging a purchase. It said, you essentially use your rewards points to buy something from the Best Buy site. That is a solicitation. That couldn't be more clear. This is not about...
I didn't think that was what happened in Chesbro. I thought what happened in Chesbro, because in fact, if you were buying it with points, it would be free. And there's other case law that's saying it's free, then it's not being sold. But the point seemed to be that you couldn't actually buy it without going there and buying something. You couldn't just take your points and buy them for nothing, right?
Therefore,
there was another step. You had to actually buy something.
Chesbrough, it was implicit from saying your reward points are about to expire, user reward points, that you had to make a purchase. And these certificates were $5, so it was also very predictable that you would be spending your own money there. I think this is totally different. There are our best case.
Do you think Chesbrough is totally different?
Totally different, just like the district court did. Judge Logan looked at it carefully, said it's distinguishable because the aim of Best Buy in that case was to get people to purchase goods from Best Buy.
We're at the pleading stage here. Chesbrough was a summary judgment case. So maybe you can show up at trial and say, oh, we had no purpose whatsoever of getting them to deal with real estate services, and maybe they won't provide any evidence to the contrary. But we're here at the pleading stage. And they've alleged that one of the dominant purposes of the call was to encourage the purchase of real estate services.
Well, with respect, they don't say that. It's clear that it's the backup plan. They say as much. They say plan A.
What about their plan A? Their plan A is that if this company bought their house and paid all the costs of doing so, that would be a purchase of services.
Yeah, I think for the reasons Judge Hurwitz stated, they pay nothing. As the district court found, the plaintiff would not pay a cent. And the word payment means paying money. And the word purchase in the statute.
In an ordinary real estate deal, there are services that have to be paid for by somebody. And it's negotiable who pays it, right? Ordinarily. It isn't known until the deal is constructed who's going to pay for the escrow and for the inspections and for and so on. That's a service, which is then a question of who's going to pay for it. So here, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. But in this case, Judge Berzon, it's undisputed that the allegations make clear that the caller is the one paying for it. There's no question of the call recipient paying for it.
All right,
but
what I'm saying is that in a real estate deal, there are services that have to be paid for. And they are not necessarily or even ordinarily incorporated in the purchase price. That's up for negotiations. And what they're saying here is, it's not going to be up for negotiations. You're not going to have to pay anything. We're going to pay all of it.
I think it would be Orwellian to say that when somebody isn't paying for the service, they're not paying a cent, that somehow that constitutes payment. I wanted to hit, with the court's permission.
It sounds true. But can I just back up for a minute and ask the question I asked before? I understand that neither of you have argued this, but I absolutely don't understand why this statute is being read not to apply to sales, to an offer to sell.
Yeah, so I think Hulse answers that question. It talks about the meaning of encouraging the purchase. Purchase means to obtain by paying money or its equivalent. When somebody is offering to buy something, the recipient is not paying anything.
Who is offering to buy something? I mean, the purchaser, the caller is offering to buy something. Right,
call,
and they're encouraging.
Yes.
Right, and so why are you assuming that he has to be encouraging the recipient of the call to buy something as opposed to him buying something?
Is it
encouraging the purchase to say, "Do you want to sell something to me?"
I think the best answer is Hulse, which says that the ordinary meaning of that is to refer to the recipient.
There was a dissent that said that this is a passive voice sentence, and it is.
Yeah, I guess I'd say that the ordinary understanding of the meaning of encourage is to persuade somebody to do something. And so if the recipient of the call is not the one being persuaded, it's hard to see how some third party.
The call is being persuaded, to sell it to him.
But not persuaded to make the purchase. And I think that's at the core of the majority opinion in Hulse. I know I'm over time. I'd hope to get one point.
Go ahead, make your point.
The Edelsberg versus Vroom case is our best case for why this is too attenuated. The plaintiffs are, contrary to what the plaintiffs say in their brief, that was a business that buys and sells cars. The plaintiff in that case was texted, and the theory was that when they called in that the real goal was not to buy their car, it was to sell cars to them. Edelsberg rejected that, and Edelsberg also cited a case called May versus Pep Boys, 717 Southeast 2nd, 235, West Virginia, 2011. Both of those cases are squarely in our favor. The court would have to disagree with those cases. May was on a motion to dismiss. I know I'm over time.
Very well. Thank you, you very much. A bit of rebuttal time.
Thank you. I do want to highlight one fact, going back to Judge Hurwitz's hypothetical to me in my primary time, and that's the function of Fast Easy Offer operating as a brokerage and essentially funneling these properties to third parties. Because forget about Keller Williams for a second and forget about the things that happen in every sale. That brokering of the properties to third-party investors
but
is different.
But he's not selling the brokering. If he buys the property, then the seller should not have the slightest interest in the world who buys it next or to whom the contract is assigned to.
That's true. But
I must say you're going to have a hard time convincing me on that one.
Fair enough. I just wanted to make the point that that act of brokering to a third party is, in fact, tantamount to what a service a realtor would perform, at least in the context of Fast Easy Offer's business model. Other than that, unless the court has questions,
by my colleague?
No.
All right. I appreciate the court's time. The case of Coffee versus Fast Easy Offer is submitted.